Well, hey there. My name is Reed, and I'm the lead pastor here at Gwinnett Church. And for our message today, I'd like to start with a question, and that is, have you ever gotten lost? And I'm not just talking about like daydreaming lost in your thoughts. I'm talking about like actually physically lost. I don't know where to go. Like, you know, you can remember back in the day when you were in the grocery store with your mom or dad and you were looking at all the amazing cereal and all of a sudden your mom, turns down the next aisle and you didn't see that she'd left you there alone and you turn around and you don't know where to go. Like, is that just me? I can remember one of the first times feeling lost, getting lost. I was at a department store. Some of you will remember Upton's. It's kind of like Kohl's, right? And so I was there with my mom. She was shopping, looking for clothes, and I was there bored. I'm a kid. And so I begin to wander and look around, and there was a toy section in the back of the store. And there at the back, I saw my favorite toys at the time, Ninja Turtle action figures. And so being a young kid and seeing Ninja Turtles, I did what any of us would have done. I began to walk towards, dig through, look for my favorite action figures. And when I looked up, I realized all of a sudden that I couldn't find my mom. And so I began to look around and I'm beginning to panic and my heart is racing and I'm looking and I moved towards what I thought was the front of the store. It was actually ended up being the back of the store. I end up in the back of this department store near where the restrooms were, and now I'm freaking out. And you know, if you've ever gotten lost, your mind starts to race and go in a million different places. And I'm thinking as a kid that I'm gonna get left here. I'm gonna end up getting raised in the Uptons, right? And so here I am and I'm looking for my mom, and finally somebody in the store sees me, notices that I'm having a bit of a panic, and they begin to walk me towards the front of the store. We get up there and they get on the intercom system and they call my mom. Jane Moore, your son is up here at the front of the store. Could you please come and meet us? And my mom comes rushing to the front in a panic, and she says to me, Reed, I was looking everywhere for you. And I was like, not everywhere, right? And so it was a traumatic experience. But I say all that to say, like, have you ever gotten lost? Like, you know that feeling? Maybe you've never gotten lost like that in a department store, but have you ever gotten lost? It's a rough feeling. And I mentioned that to say, have you ever gotten lost before though in life? Like you've got a decision that you don't know what to do, a situation that you're not sure how to navigate, a circumstance that you don't know how to handle, and you just feel lost? Should I have that conversation or not? Should I take the job or not? Should we move our family? Should I forgive them? How do I forgive them? How do I move forward after this devastating loss? How do I break this habit? How do I deal with this pain, this worry, this fear, this sadness, this loneliness, right? Like, what should I do? I just kind of feel lost. Have you ever been there before? I think we've probably all been there at one point or another, because the truth is life is messy and it's complicated and it's confusing, and we get all kinds of competing voices that are vying for our attention and trying to direct us. And so it's easy at times in life to feel lost. I wonder, where do you turn when you feel lost? Where do you turn when you don't know where to turn, right? Like when you're not sure where to go or what to do, when you need guidance, where do you go? Today, I want to show you something that Jesus said about himself that actually speaks to this. It speaks to where we can turn and who we can turn to when we need guidance and when we feel lost. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He's talking about himself and trying to describe the role that he's come to play in our lives. And this is what he says. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." Now, a little context to what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus has just healed a blind man, someone who definitely needed help getting around, some guidance. And afterwards, he begins to teach the crowd around him about who he is and what he came to do. And he makes this "I am" statement, right? He makes seven of these in the Gospel of John, and this is one of them where he's talking about who he is and what he's come to do for us. And he compares himself to a shepherd. A good shepherd. And maybe you're not too familiar with shepherds. It's not a super popular career nowadays, right? There's not a lot of husbandry majors at the University of Georgia. But if you are, shout out to you. However, it was prevalent in Jesus's day. And so for those of us not familiar, though, with the role of a shepherd and what the shepherd does, the simplest way to describe what a shepherd does is that a shepherd's job is to direct and protect the sheep, to guide them and to guard them. And what Jesus is saying here is, hey, something that you need to know about me and about who I am, about what I'm like and what I've come to do. He says, I'm like a shepherd, and I'm not just any kind of shepherd. I'm a good shepherd, the good shepherd, which essentially means Jesus is talking to them and to us and letting us know, look, I care about where you're going, about who you're becoming, and I want to guide and to guard you through this life. And so, you know, we're looking at that. Jesus says he's the good shepherd, and that would mean for us, who are the sheep? Yeah. That's us, right? We're the sheep in this analogy, which is not a flattering comparison per se, but in all honesty, it's pretty accurate. Sheep aren't very bright, their eyesight is horrible, and they easily get lost, stuck, distracted, and misled. Sound familiar? I mean, if I'm just being honest, that's a lot like me, right? It's a lot like us. And just like sheep need a shepherd, we do too, you guys. Someone to help guide us and to guard us when we get off track, or to keep us from getting off track. For direction and protection, sheep need a shepherd, and the truth is we do too. There's so much in life that we don't understand. Plenty of times we wander, we get stuck, we head towards danger, or we simply don't know where to go. There are many times, as we mentioned before, that we feel lost and we need guidance, and we need to know where to turn or who to turn to, and where we turn or who we turn to will impact where we end up, and in many ways shape who we become. The truth is, the leaders in your life are either going to strengthen your heart or they're going to weaken your knees. And so who or what are you following? Where are you turning when you feel lost? Jesus says, one of the reasons I came is to be a guide for you, to be the one you turn to when you feel lost, to be the good shepherd. He's essentially saying to them and to us, look, I'm here to direct and to protect you, to lead you through life, real, full, abundant, and eternal life. If you need guidance, Jesus is saying, you can come to me, stick close to me, listen to me. I am the good shepherd. I care about where you're going and what you're doing and who you're becoming. I want to guide you. Now, how does Jesus actually guide us? I mean, it's not like he gives us a blinking sign that says turn here or go there or say this or do this, right? No, but he does give us a clue. He says here how we can hear from him and receive his guidance. He says this in verse 27. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus is saying, look, I guide my sheep by speaking to them, and my sheep know my voice. They know what I sound like. They can pick up on my guidance in the midst of all the noise of life. But if that's true, you guys, then the natural question is, what does Jesus's voice sound like? Because I don't know about you, but for me, I've never heard his voice audibly, but I do believe that he does speak to us. In fact, he speaks far more than most of us are ready to listen. And so today what I want to do is I want to show you three ways that Jesus speaks to us so that you can know where to look and how to listen for his voice in your life in order to allow him to guide you into the life that you were created for. So three ways that we can tune our ears to the voice of God in our life and receive his guidance when we feel lost. One is in the Word. In the written Word, we call it the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures are one of the ways that God speaks to us. And it's not necessarily like a GPS, like, you know, God, what college should I go to? And then you open up the Bible and it says, and thou shalt go to the University of Georgia, right? It doesn't work like that. That's not what the way God directs us in the scriptures. What he does in the scriptures, you guys, is he reveals his character. He tells us who he is and what he's like, and he reveals to us what our lives ought to look like in response to who he is and what he's like. And so what we get in the scriptures is God's guidelines for how we're called to live, how we're called to love, how we're called to treat one another. And when we allow that to speak to us, it begins to direct and protect our steps. It guides us in the direction that we're meant to go. And when we're wrestling through conversations, forgiveness, how to handle disappointment, doubt, discouragement, we see in the scriptures the life that God's called us to live, and it begins to give us guidance into the steps that we're meant to take. And so one way that you can hear God's voice and receive his guidance in your life is in the written Word. Another way, though, that God speaks to us is by his Spirit. Jesus said towards the end of his ministry and life, he said, it's better that I go away so that I can send the Spirit to you, the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, to live in you as a comfort and as a counselor, someone to guide you in life and into all truth. And so one of the ways that we receive guidance from Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is by his Spirit inside of us. And what his Spirit will do is will nudge us in a direction, will ding our conscience. And I can remember one time in particular, I'll give you an example from my own life, where I felt the guidance of the Spirit giving me direction in life. So I used to work out at a park with a group of guys. I couldn't afford CrossFit, I'll just be honest with you, so we did Park Fit. And so I would go early in the morning and go work out with this group of guys. And there was one morning in particular, my alarm went off and y'all, I just did not want to get up. I'm just being honest. I wanted to sleep in. And so I hit snooze. And as I laid back down to go to bed, to go back to sleep, I felt just an unrest, a nudge, a conviction, if you will, that I was supposed to get up and go. And I laid there and I tried to ignore it, but I continued to have this overwhelming conviction that I was supposed to get up and go and work out. And so when I couldn't fall back asleep, I got up and I jumped in the car and I drove over to the park, only to arrive and find out that everyone else, I guess, had decided they were going to sleep in as well. And I remember thinking, what? Why did I just get up? But when I got over to the park, I noticed that there was a guy and he's sitting at one of the picnic tables that's under the covered pavilion where we would work out. And he was sitting there drinking his coffee and he's reading a book. And I'll just be honest, from where I was sitting, it looked like he was reading the Bible. And I figured, you know what? I felt a conviction to get up this morning. I think maybe I'm supposed to go talk to this guy. So I got out of my truck and I go and I said, hey, good morning, what are you reading? And this young man, he looks up at me and he says, hey, I'm reading the Bible. And he was like, I just got out of a 12-step program and they told me to pick a higher power. And so here I am and I'm trying to make sense of this Bible and I'm reading, the guy told me to read in the book of John. And he says, you don't by any chance happen to know anything about the Bible, do you? To which I was like, well, I just so happen to be a professional Christian, right? Like, I was like, no way, this is unbelievable. And so I got to sit down with this young man and, we read the Bible together for a minute and got to help him make sense of it. And you guys, I know now looking back, that conviction that I felt, it wasn't just something that I ate and it wasn't just that I needed to get into shape. It was God leading me and guiding me by the Spirit that he's placed inside of me. And so God has given us guidance through his word, but he also gives us guidance through the Spirit, and he'll convict us and he'll nudge us and he'll direct us through the Spirit and through prayer. And then another way that God will guide us in life and offer his guidance to us in life is also though through wise people that he places around us. Wise, Jesus following people around us. He'll guide us through them, and he will put those people around us, and they will be able to speak to us, and a lot of times God will speak through them to us in order to help us to know the steps that we ought to take, right? I tell people oftentimes the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife, right? I can think of plenty of times in my life where I've been stuck on a decision. I've been wondering what to do. I've been praying and maybe not hearing anything in the quiet moments of prayer. And then my wife and I, we sit down and we have conversation and we pray together. And then she'll text me or she'll talk to me the next morning and she'll give me a word of wisdom. And in that, I know that the Lord has directed my steps and given me his wise counsel through her. And so, you guys, the Lord will give us guidance through his word, through his Spirit, and through wise, faithful people that he's placed around us. Jesus says to us that he is the good shepherd, that if you're looking for guidance and direction, if you want to know the way into the life that I've created you for, then he says, you can come to me. I am the good shepherd. I care about your lives. I care about the decisions that you're making. He wants to give us guidance if we're willing to look to him. And so if you've got a decision that you're struggling with, if you need guidance or direction, if you're feeling a little bit lost in life, then listen, you can seek guidance from the good shepherd. And some great places to look are, one, in the word. Another great place to look for it is through prayer and to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, and then also to look to the wise people, the wise, faithful people that God has placed around you. Now, I do just got to be honest with you that even though Jesus is a good shepherd and he is a good guide, that does not mean that if you follow him that it's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you're always going to avoid hardship. It doesn't mean that you'll never get off track. It doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way. Another biblical writer, King David, he wrote a famous psalm about God being his shepherd. And he said that God leads him to still waters and green pastures and good places, but sometimes getting there meant that he had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, Jesus doesn't promise us easy, you guys, but he does promise us better. He doesn't promise that we won't go through some difficult times, but he does say he'll be there to direct us and to protect us through whatever we walk through in life. And here's how we can know that we can trust his guidance when things are hard, because of how he ended the verse. You see, Jesus said that he's the good shepherd and that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know why we can trust the guidance that Jesus provides in his word and by his Spirit and in wise, faithful people? The reason why we can trust the guidance of Jesus in our lives is it's because of what he says, that he lays down his life for the sheep. You see, what Jesus has done for us is that he literally died for us, laying down his life for us. And when someone will die for you, you do not have to question whether you can trust them or not, or whether they care for you or not. So even when things don't seem to be going our way or the way that we hoped or planned, you can trust that Jesus is working to direct you and to protect you, because he is a good shepherd who lays down his life for you and for me. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that when we feel lost in life, you don't leave us to figure it out on our own. You are the good shepherd. You invite us to come to you and to look to you. And I pray that you would help us to learn what your voice sounds like, in the Word and by your Spirit and by wise, faithful people around us. Help us to tune our ears to your voice so that we can follow your direction in our lives and ultimately become the people that you've created us to be and end up in the places that you desire us to be. And so, would you teach us to hear your voice? Give us the courage to follow where you lead. And we know that that's going to ultimately be where we wanted to be anyway. So we love you. We trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.